Okay, so let's talk a little bit about this week's coming parsha. This week's coming parsha. Anyone here know what this week's coming parsha is? Ray, all the women know. The guys have no idea. Yeah.
Can you hear me in the back?
You can't hear me in the back. Okay. So this week's parsha is Ray. What does Ray mean?
See.
To see. Okay. Ray, behold. We'll see. Anoichi noisim lefnechem hayoim. Hashem says, I have given before you today, every single day, hayom in the Torah, every single day, Hashem has given us bracha uklola, a blessing or a curse. And the pasuk says, es ha-bracha, and the bracha, the blessing, asher tishmu al mitzvot Hashem elokeichem, if you will listen to the commandments, the mitzvot of Hashem your God, asher enochem mitzvot etzchem hayom, that I have commanded you today, what's the bracha? What are you going to get? Says the next pasuk, v'haklola, and the curse. Doesn't tell us the bracha. Strange pasuk. Tells us, and the bracha, look, today, the bracha that I'm going to give you, if you listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem, is, next pasuk, doesn't say what it is. And the next pasuk says, v'haklola, and the curse, eloi tishmul mitzvahs Hashem alakechim, if you're not going to listen to the mitzvahs of Hashem, your God, the sartim and aderech, you're going to go off the derech, by the way, that's where that whole thing, kid is off the derech, where'd that come from? Right? So my Rebbe, when he said to me, Wallerstein, you know, you're off the derech, I took it as a compliment, because to get off the derech means you have to be on the derech. So that's better than never being on the derech. But that's where this comes from in the Torah. The sartim and aderech, you're going to go off the derech, asher anoichem mitzav etzchem hayoyim, like I have commanded you today, lelechetz achri elikim lachem, you're going to go after other gods. You don't even know them. You don't even understand that rap music that you're listening to. You don't know what they're talking about. It's black culture. You're white. You're Jewish. What are you listening to, girls? Guys? It's that music you're listening to. So it's an interesting pasuk. The pasuk says, the acharei elokim acherim. Okay, it should say, and the curse is, if you're going to go after other gods, what's the asher lo yedatem that you don't know? It's like Kadosh Baruch Hu says, it's one thing if you do normal things, but you're going, you're following cultures you don't even understand. You're not even born into it. So you're leaving my culture to go to another culture, you don't even understand what you're doing. And it's true that many of us, not Chas Shalom, anyone in this room, and anything I'm saying tonight I want you to know is not for anyone sitting in this room. It's for the people that you know that might need to hear this. Because I know that nobody in this room has cell phones. And I know nobody in this room has Facebook. And I know nobody in this room has internet. So why am I going to talk about all these things? And the answer is, and half the people are like, oh, not even about Facebook again. I'm not going to talk about Facebook. I'm not even going to mention the word Facebook. So don't worry. The Torah is telling us, what are you Jewish people doing? You're following the Goyim. You don't even understand what you're doing. So the Torah tells us, then what's the curse that's going to happen to you if you don't listen to Hashem? Next pasuk. And Hashem is going to bring you to the land, to inherit. Hashem is going to give the bracha. It doesn't say anything. It is the strangest psukim. If you open a chumash after the shir tonight, right? Because I'm sure you all do that right before you go to sleep. So you open the chumash and you look at the pasuk. It doesn't make any sense. It's like a parent telling a kid, now listen. If you do something good, if you get 100 on your test tomorrow, 100 on your test, right? My father never said that to me. Father was happy if I got an 80 on my test. But if you get 100 on your test tomorrow, you know how I'm going to reward you? By the way, you know what the score in the Yankee game was tonight? Because Dad, what happened to the reward? You told me, what are you doing? And the father goes off into a totally different song. And if you come home late tomorrow and you miss your bedtime at 8 o'clock, you know what the punishment's going to be? So did you like mommy's soup tonight? So what are you talking about? Well, that's what the pasuk says here. I'm going to give you a bracha, and the bracha is going to be, if you listen to Hashem, and the Torah does not tell us what the bracha is, and the Torah does not tell us what the klala is. the very strange psukim. So I heard a very beautiful answer, and that is what my shiur tonight, why you all came out on a Monday night. I know why I'm here. I have no idea why you're here. He asked me to come, but on a Monday night, to come to a shiur in the summer. Amazing. You're all tzaddikim. Hashem should reward you. All your tefillah should be in the skabel. You came out on a Monday night to go to a shiur. Amazing. Amazing. Only in Queens. So, I want to tell you an unbelievable answer. And the answer is as follows. Re'eh. First of all, this parasha opens up with see. Open up your eyes. See what's going on. The biggest bracha for a human being. Listen carefully, you never heard this Dvar Torah before. I guarantee you, nobody in this room heard this Dvar Torah before. We're going to put the comma in a different place. Re'eh Anoichi. See me, says Hashem. Noisein lifnechem hayayim bracha klala. What's the bracha? What's the greatest bracha? The greatest bracha is habracha shetishmol mitzvot Hashem. The bracha is if you listen to the mitzvot of Hashem, that is the bracha. Not if you listen to the mitzvot of Hashem, I'm going to reward you. Re'eh anoichi, if a human being sees God in everything in this world, we see Hashem. The biggest bracha that a person can have is to listen to the Torah. Not if you listen to the Torah, the bracha will be. The Torah doesn't tell us that. The bracha is if you keep the Torah and you do the mitzvahs, that's the biggest bracha. Es haklala. What's the biggest curse? Ashaloi tishmon. The curse is not listening and following things that you don't even understand. The biggest curse for a human being is to go through a whole life and come up to Shemayim after 90 years and have lived a life that wasn't of Torah, a life of not seeing Hashem, a life of walking around a whole day with this, with a cell phone in your hand. They just had, Time Magazine wrote, 5% of all people in emergency rooms in America are there because of their cell phones. They walked into a pole. They walked into another person. They crashed in their car. So Kadosh Baruch Hu says, a person walks around all day, and you know what? It's very cool because, this is very funny, I heard last week, a kid in camp told the counselor that I want to have a cell phone in camp. It's in a lot of camps, they take away your cell phones. The counselor said, why? He says, because my mother didn't send me a flashlight. So they're all walking around with cell phones. It's another ridiculous thing. You don't need a flashlight anymore. Flashlight business is out of business. If you have a cell phone, it lights up. You can use it to... So this year, Mitzvah Hashem, by Bedikas Chametz, instead of a candle, you could go around with your cell phone. So I asked the question. Can you use your cell phone to do Bedikas Chametz? Huh? A feather, a spoon, a cell phone. You know what my rabbi said? How can you use the cell phone? That is the chametz. Ooh. Ow. So, the biggest bracha is re'ei anoichi. The biggest bracha in the world is seeing Hashem. So what did the Satan do? He created all these gadgets, computers, blackberries, blueberries. I don't know, when I was a kid, the teacher said, what's a blackberry? He said, you make a boy of Priya Eitz. It's a berry, you put some sour cream and sugar on it, and you make sure it has no bugs on it. A blackberry today, it's not a fruit, a blackberry. You ask any little kid, what's a blackberry? My father's phone. What's an apple? My mother's computer. In Israel, what's an orange? It's a cell phone company. The biggest cell phone company in Israel is Orange. Why'd they do that, by the way? Anyone here who's in advertising and marketing, why did they call a cell phone a blackberry? And a computer, an Apple. Isn't that weird? And then a certain type of computer, a Macintosh, which is a type of Apple. And why would Israeli telephone company call themselves an Orange? So it was very interesting. I read a whole article on this. Right? It's a little weird to call technology, right? So, and now the newest thing, I don't have to tell everyone here, well, the guys know about this, not about the girls. So the newest thing is this thing called Droid, right? It comes from the word Android. Android is a robot. So why did they start naming things out of fruits and vegetables, and now they ended up in robots? So they wrote a whole article that human beings, when they first came out with computers, were very scared of technology. So they knew that if they took technology and they named it after a fruit or a berry that you're used to saying, that's user-friendly because it's something you eat, that we would not be scared to use it. Now that we're so used to computers, they have no problem calling a droid. It's just very interesting how they sold us this whole thing. And we don't see Hashem anymore. Nobody sees Hashem. I was in a school, and I said, I'm very into sunrise. So I speak a lot about sunrise, right? So I was in this yeshiva, a very religious yeshiva, and I was talking to the boys about sunrise. And the rabbi pulled me over to the side. He said, Rabbi Wallerstein, sunrise is like a goyisha thing. The goyim make a big thing about sunrise. I don't know if you ever saw The Fiddler on the Roof. Sunrise, sunset, right? Okay, you didn't see that. It's an old story about a Jewish fiddler. Anyway, so goyim make like sunrise. Let's go watch the sunrise. And then, oh, the sunset, you know, oh, romantic, the sunset, right? He said, Rabbi Wallerstein, I don't want you talking in my yeshiva about sunrise. It's not a Yiddish azach. It's not a Jewish thing. How many people in this room think sunrise is a Jewish thing? Okay. How many people think sunset's a Jewish thing? How many people couldn't care less? There you go. Let me tell you how Jewish sunrise is. So I said to this rabbi, I'm like, Rabbi, please don't get angry at me, but you're an Am Haaretz. He said, you're not talking to my school anymore. I said, how could you say that sunrise is not a Jewish thing? Let me tell you about sunrise. A Medrash in Bereishis. Listen carefully. And this is why Rabbi Wallerstein loves sunrise. And everybody here should know that Hashem puts on this production every morning. Since the creation of the world, every morning there's a sunrise. And there's a huge Medrash and a Zohar, I believe, that talks about why the day doesn't go just from dark to light and from light to dark. In other words, why does it go slowly? And it says the chesed for Hashem, Hashem has a chesed, that it shouldn't become dark right away. That we as human beings, if we went from light to dark, first of all, we'd be very scared and very nervous, because all of a sudden you're walking the street and all of a sudden it's dark. So Hashem had chesed. That's why he made sunset. Sunset was chesed. And he said that sunrise also is very slow, because when you go from a dark room into a light room, so it's hard on your eyes. You squint like till you get used to the light. So Hashem, for the whole world, for the animals, for the humans, for everybody, Hashem made sunrise slowly. So that when you go from darkness to light, it shouldn't even bother your eyes. This is the God that nobody believes in! Prove it! Rabbi Wallerstein, I don't know if there's really a God. Prove it. That's all I get all day long. Everyone's an atheist all of a sudden. They don't believe in God. God is not very popular at the moment in the world. They do averus, they vote on them, they pass them, and we all live in this beautiful state of New York. That did the Te'evas Hashem, Mamish took a sword, stuck it into Hashem. And we all live here, and how many of us went that day when people went and they protested that they allowed gay marriages in New York State, how many of us stood up for Hashem and went out there with a big placard? God created Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. How many of us were standing out there? Nobody! Who cares? Tevas Hashem, what does it do with me? So this same God that we have no feelings, he creates a sunrise because your eyes would have to squint a little in the morning. And it might be a little scary for you if the lights go out all of a sudden. This is the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Re'ei Anoichi, says the Pasuk. The biggest bracha is to see me, is to see who I am, and to see how I look at you, how much I care about you. That's HaBracha. What's the biggest bracha for a person? It's to follow the Torah. It's a klala. What's the worst klala? It's to chas v'shalom not to follow Hashem. So, the Medrash says the following. Listen to this. Adam was created. Anyone here know when he was created? Erev Shabbos. Imagine, wasn't that amazing, guys? Adam was created Erev Shabbos. Right before Shabbos, the first thing he ate was cholent and kugel. Amazing, no? What a way to get created. First dish was cholent. I don't know what you call it in Sephardic, what you make, whatever it's called. It has a different name. What is it called? What? Osheshma. Okay, whatever. As long as it tastes like cholent, it doesn't matter what you call it. All right. Baruch Hashem. So he was created, it was Erev Shabbos, not long before Shabbos. And then he did the Aveira, he ate from the Eitz Hadas, and it says that if he would have waited till Shabbos to eat from the Eitz Hadas, he would have been able to have, it wouldn't have been an Aveira. Hashem wanted him to have the Eitz Hadas for Shabbos, but he didn't wait, and he ate right before Shabbos. So what happened after he ate the Eitz Hadas? The sun began to set. So here was Adam, he never saw darkness, he never saw night, he was created in the light. So he didn't know what night was. And here he is, he doesn't have Aveira, and all of a sudden, it starts to get dark. So the Medrash says, Adam thinks, oh my goodness, I just destroyed the world. Hashem is putting out the sun. The world is disappearing. Why? Because I ate from the Eitz Hadas. And before he knew it, it was dark. No more trees, no more plants, no more flowers, no more animals. It was dark. So a whole Friday night, the first Friday night, Adam sat and cried. And he said, Hashem, forgive me, I destroyed the world. Right? He didn't know what dark. He didn't know that's supposed to get dark. And he cried a whole night, says the Midrash. Till early in the morning, when the sun began to rise. And when the sun began to rise, he said, oh my goodness, I didn't destroy the world. Hashem is bringing back the world. The sun is coming up. Now, I don't think any of us could imagine what Adam was feeling, that he destroyed the world, and that first glimpse, that first ray of sunlight, that the sun was coming back, and he realized that Hashem forgave him and he didn't destroy the world, says the Medrash, that Adam HaRishon wrote Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. That we say every Shabbos, Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. And it says that when Mashiach comes, what is Klal Yisrael going to say? What perek of Tehillim? Mizmor Shir L'Yom HaShabbos. Why? Because we're also living in darkness. And when we see the light of Moshiach, we're going to feel, like Adam did, that the world is not over, and that Hashem forgave us, and we're going to sing the same shir that he sang. I said, Rabbi, sunrise is not Jewish. Sunrise is what we're all about. It's a medrash. He said, you're still not coming back to my yeshiva. Call me an Amoritz. Sunrise. Ladies and gentlemen, every single morning, Hashem makes a sunrise. How many of us have ever seen one? Sober. Excellent. It's amazing. You start in darkness, and then slowly you can see a little bit and a little more, and then you see the horizon. It's amazing. It's potential. It's hope. You start off in darkness and you end off in light. You see everything. In the beginning, you see nothing. You can't even see your hands. And then by the time sunrise is over, you see everything. And we all know that Vosikin is the most rachamim time of the day. And if you daven with Vosikin, Shemon Esrei, whatever you ask for, Hashem answers. And the reason is because that's a moment of hope. It's a moment of when the world goes from darkness to light. So I was in a school. There were 60 girls in the room, maybe a little more. And I said, so girls, how many of you seen sunrise? And I knew that they weren't the type of girls that are getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning to watch sunrise. One girl raises her hand. Ooh. I'm like, oh, there's always one in the crowd. I'm like, what? She goes, I've seen sunrise. I'm like, okay, how many times? Twice. Hundreds. I said, hundreds? You get up 5 o'clock in the morning? Hundreds of times? It's amazing. what an amazing girl. Where do you live? She goes, wherever they live. I don't know. She told me where she lives. I'm like, so like, what? It's like your window is right by where the sun comes up. It wakes you up. Like, what happens? She goes, no, Rabbi, I don't need a window. I'm like, what do you mean you don't need a window? You live in a tent? She goes, no, it's on my screensaver. I'm like, oy vey. That's a sunrise on your screensaver? I said, well, in that case, I have the whole Atlantic Ocean in my room. Because on my screensaver, I got a bunch of fish. You know, in the water on your screensaver, they're going by. Those aren't fish. That isn't water. That isn't the sun. And that isn't a sunrise. It's a machine. You don't see Hashem when you look at a sunrise on a computer. Greatest bracha for a human being. And that's what I'm here tonight for. Girls and men, gentlemen, women and gentlemen. The greatest bracha you can have in your life is when you see God. What are you talking about? How do you see God? It says if you see God, you're going to die. Well, a person only can see God after he dies. Wrong. You can only see directly Hashem after you die. But indirectly, you can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu through all his creations. And not only through his creations, through his Torah, anybody who learns Gemara and Chumash and the Balaturim, that this word equals this word, which equals that word, and they have nothing to do with each other, and everything equals each other, and you learn some of these Dvar Torahs, and you're like, they're mind-boggling. And you see God. I had a Rosh Yeshiva, his name was Rosh Shmuel Birnbaum, all of a sudden, Rosh Yeshiva, Mir Yeshiva, my Rosh Yeshiva. Not my Rosh Yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva. But I learned in the Yeshiva. Rosh Shmuel Birnbaum was the biggest masmid of our dar. He learned all day long. In fact, he was Masonic Kedushin by my wedding, and he wouldn't come till after 8 o'clock. He didn't care, because his Seder was till 8 o'clock. Until after Seder, he wouldn't come to a wedding. They say a story about him, just to understand. See, I myself, many times go to watch sunrise, sunset. I'm at a place in Bear Mountains, on top of a mountain. You can see for 500 miles. That's where I get away from everything. That's where I connect. And I can connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu very much through nature. I'm not on such a level yet to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu like my Rosh Yeshiva did. Let me tell you a story about Rosh Yeshiva, Rosh Shmuel Birnbaum. So he was a Rosh Yeshiva. He sat and he learned all day and he gave shiurim. He wasn't a baba. He wasn't a makubal. Wasn't a palm reader. Didn't tell you who your shidduch is. None of that stuff. No magic. No fast stuff. You know, show me the name. Show me the other name. Does it match? Yes, it matches. No, it doesn't match. Leave a check. Okay, it matches now. Don't leave a check. It didn't match. No babas. Rosh Yeshiva. Lived for sure. Rosh Yeshiva. Learned all day long. So one day, one of his talmidim, who was there for a very long time, was a kailo younger man. So he had a bunch of children. His wife had cancer. So he went to the Rosh Yeshiva. And he said to Rosh Yeshiva, my wife, I have like 6-7 kids. There's no way. We have no money. There's no way that I can do without my wife. The Rosh Yeshiva has to do a miracle. Has to do something. You have to do a miracle. Right? So he said, I'm not a Rebbe. I'm not a Chassidish Rebbe. And I'm not a Mekubal. Well, I don't do miracles. Hadavin. He said, no, Rosh Yeshiva, no, you don't understand, it's my wife. And they're not giving her a lot of time. Rosh Yeshiva has to do a maifis. You have to do a miracle. And he pushed him, and he pushed him, and he pushed him. What happened to the mic? Okay. And he pushed him, and he pushed him. I like to talk this way anyway. And he pushed him. Let me tell you what happened. She gets better. She goes to the doctor. Mama Shanais, what do I do? I don't know. It's up to you. See, Baruch Hashem, you don't have to change my batteries. So the lady, she starts getting better. And of course the doctors are saying it's the new this, it's the new chemo, this and that. Well, Maisa, after 3 months, there is no sign of the cancer in her body at all. And the doctors are beyond themselves. Chemo is supposed to shrink the tumor. The tumor is gone. They don't understand what happened. We're good? We're not good. It's not the batteries. It's the satan. Okay. So, listen to this. So he comes to Rosh Yeshiva, and he says to Rosh Yeshiva, Rosh Yeshiva, you're a makubo. You're a maifes. My wife is clean. She just came back. They did tests. She's clean. Rosh Yeshiva, I have to tell everybody. What did you do? Listen to what the Rosh Yeshiva said, guys. He said, listen, I don't want you to tell anybody. He says, but I'll tell you what happened. He said, every day, in the Gemara, right? I learn Gemara every day. And I learn, Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai says this, Beis Hillel says this. They're arguing, Machlokes. He said, I talk to Beis Shammai in the Gemara every day. And I talk to Beis Hillel in the Gemara every day. So after you came to me, thunderstorm. There you go. Thank you very much. After you came to me, he said, so I said to Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, listen, I talk to you every day. I never asked you for a favor. I'm asking you to go to the Kisei HaKavod to Hashem. It's one of my Talmidim. His wife is very sick. I'm asking you to beg Hashem she should have a refuah shleimah. So my Rosh Yeshiva was able to see Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel in the Gemara. He actually learned in a way where he felt like he was actually talking to them. And he was actually talking to them. So that connection. I'm not on that level. So I try to see Hashem through his Bria, through the things he created. I've spoken to you many times about the butterfly. I've spoken to you about the oyster, the pearl, right? Everyone here knows the story of the pearl. I don't know if I ever spoke to you about the little, what we call lightning bugs, which I think I spoke to you about that also. All the different things in nature that Kadosh Baruch Hu does, like grains of sand that keep back an ocean, and every grain of sand is really nothing, and how just his whole Bria is, forget about the human body and the different parts of the human body and how it works. And the biggest brach in a person's life is to be able to see Hashem through himself, through his parents, through his children, through Hashem's creation, through Hashem's Torah, through everything that Hashem does. And what happened? The Satan came along, and the Satan created technology, which is fine. We need technology. And I'm not here to tell you not to have a cell phone. And I'm not here to tell you that you shouldn't have internet. But when it becomes an addiction, when your cell phone becomes the first thing that you look at when you wake up in the morning, I don't understand. Why are you looking at your cell phone when you wake up in the morning? The first thing you do when you wake up in the morning, you're supposed to say Modani. Husbands and wives, used to be, you wake up in the morning, you looked across the bed at your wife to make sure she's still breathing. And she would look at her husband to make sure he's still breathing. Now, the husband wakes up, the first thing he does, checks his phone, messages. I understand. You went to sleep at 2. You got up at 6. Who's calling you from 2 to 6? What are you checking? And then how happy you are because Chaim called him at 3:30. Oh, I'm a human being. Someone reached out to me at 3:30 in the morning. One of my Talmidim, 3 weeks ago, came to me. It's Rabbi Wallerstein. I am so excited. I'm like, what? You finished Shas? No. You finished Masechta? No. What happened? He says, someone gave me their number, and I tried to put it into my phone, right? And my phone wouldn't take it. You know why? It's full. 1,000 numbers. He was so proud of himself. Many years ago, there was a guy, I want to talk about in shul, about a guy, you should think, there was a guy called Steve Martin in The Jerk. He was running around screaming, I made it, I made it! I'm the man. Everybody came running out of their houses. What happened? What happened? He says, I made it. What happened? He says, I'm in the telephone book. Yeah, okay, that's very exciting. You made it into the telephone book. So this kid is all excited. 1,000 names in his phone. Or 900 friends on Facebook. So why don't you ask all your good friends on Facebook, who you have 900 of them, send me $10. All of a sudden, you got $9,000. See what happens if they send you $10. What kind of friends? Those are friends. Virtual friends. Virtual friends. Virtual marriage. Everything's virtual. Nothing's real. So of course you can't see Hashem. Hashem is real. Hashem's Bria is real. You can't make a sunrise disappear. This girl in the morning, in the middle of her screensaver, the sun rising, she hits the off button, it's back at night. Imagine, she's bigger than God. God never reversed the sunrise. She can reverse the sunrise. It's getting light on the screensaver, and she turns it off. It's dark. Amazing. So I'm not here tonight to talk to you about not having technology, but not abusing it. Not the first thing you look at in the morning is your phone. And the last thing before you go to sleep, read a sefer, read a story about a tzaddik. Look at the other person in your room. Think about what you did today. Where was I? Where did I start my day? What was my dream today? Did I reach my dream today? Did I do anything today? Sit there and read all your old text messages and your old emails, and that's how you take your neshama goes to Shemayim. Your neshama leaves your body when you go to sleep. The last thing you thought of, that's how it goes up. That's it's what does it say there in Kabbalah? That's how it opens up the door in Shemayim. It comes up, the last thing you saw. Chas v'shalom, you're watching television, that's how you fall asleep. And the first thing your neshama comes to Shemayim, to get into Yeshiva Shemayla, it tells the Dave Letterman joke. Or a Seinfeld joke. I don't think you're going anywhere with that. Well, chas v'shalom, other things that you were watching. So they say they don't let the neshama into Shemayim. They don't let it into Shemayim. Very important, the last thing. That's why we say Kriya Shema Lamita. Let's read the last thing that we do. But now everybody's on there looking at their phone before they. So they look at their phone before they go to sleep. They look at their phone the minute they wake up. They look at their phone all day long. And Nebuch, we have no life. Used to be, ladies, I'll get to them, don't worry. Used to be that when a lady got into the car, first thing she'd ask her husband, are the children seatbelted in the back? Are they all in their seatbelts? Is everybody here? Chaya, Maishi, Miriam, yeah, they're all here?
Yeah, ma, we're all, I hate that seatbelt.
But they're all there? Yeah, they're all in the seatbelt. That's what women used to do when they got into a car. You know what women do today when they get into a car? Oh no, Chaim! I can't find my phone! Oh no, I left it in the house! Chaim, call it right now, let's see if it rings in the car. Oh yeah, all the time. Call it right now, let's see if it rings in the car. And then if it rings, her face is like, Hashem, it's in the bottom of her pocketbook. She thought she left it in the house. And then the biggest panic is, oh no, Chaim! My phone! It's on silent. We'll never find it. It's lost forever. It doesn't ring. It doesn't vibrate. Chanallah. One of our kids is missing. We'll find him. Don't worry. My phone, we're not going to find. We'll find him. We'll find him. He makes noise. He vibrates. We'll find him. He's breathing. My phone. Panic. Go out of that restaurant. Right, ladies? Go out of that restaurant. And all of a sudden, oh, no. I left it in the restaurant. Call it. Hope somebody picks it up in the store in Bloomingdale. Oh, it's like you lost your only child. Nebuch, it's a phone. So they're not so worried, everybody. Because usually you find your phone. But when it falls into the bathtub or the toilet and you lose your contacts, you might as well be dead. Why be alive? Oh my goodness! I lost all my contacts! Who's my mother? What's her name? She's not in my phone anymore! I don't know who she is! You're laughing. This is who we become. Maybe Re'ei Enochi means you should see yourself. Maybe Re'ei Enochi means you need to see yourself. We have no idea who we are. Nobody has time anymore, especially the guys, because they're so busy. Oh, they're so busy. You know, growing up, I never made a living. Only these young guys with their Blackberries, right? Meanwhile, none of them make $10, right? But all their Blackberries, they're busy a whole day. Not you guys, Chas v'shalom, but they're busy a whole day. Blackberries, blueberries, with droids, with connections, with mice, with blue, this, that. They're so busy. Rabbi, can you give me $10? I have nothing to eat. I'm like, what are you so busy with the whole day if you're not making money, right? Busy. And you have all those different noises. Ding, dong. An IM, an EM, a ZM, a DM. I don't even know anymore. Right? I don't have a BlackBerry. And it's fantastic because you can send them a certain kind of message that you can't send to another one. It's like secret messages. It's like so exciting. You have no life, guys. You don't even know who you are. You haven't spent time with yourself. You know your number. You know your telephone number. And after 120 years and they bury you, they're not going to put your name up there. They're going to put your number, your cell phone. 91, here lies, 917-222-6131. And then maybe if you're lucky and you're really a hush of a guy, they'll put your internet address underneath it. And if you want to reach him, www.ganeden.com. Halavai, it says ganeden.com. So you live your whole life. You have no life. You don't see your kids. You don't see your parents. You don't see nature. You don't see nothing. You see a bunch of digits on your phone. It's on your lap. It's in your pocket. It's your life. How many guys on Shabbos? Me too. I'm not any better than anyone else. On Shabbos, I'm walking, and there's a vibration in my pocket. I'm like, I don't got no phone in my pocket on Shabbos. So I called up my therapist. I said, this is crazy. I don't have a phone in my pocket, and it's vibrating. He says, all right, Wallstein, I'm getting a lot of calls. It's called phantom vibrations. It's a lot of calls. You're so sick that your phone is vibrating when your phone isn't even there. So I'm the one who talks about this, and everyone's like, you were born 30 years B.C., you know, 30 years before cell phones. Like, you know, you're like, you're so old. Like, you don't understand technology at Wallstein, you know. You're not connected, like, you know. You don't talk to anybody. You're never connected to anybody. Like, you're totally disconnected. And I'm like, no, you're disconnected. You don't even know what it means to be a human being. You have no idea who you are. When was the last time you asked the big three questions? You know what the big three questions are? Big three questions in life. You ask yourself every day these three questions, you're guaranteed to be close to Hashem, close to your family, close to your wife, close to your kids, and close to yourself. What are the three questions? The three questions are, where have I been? Start thinking about your past. What have I done in my past? Where am I now? Where am I going? Three questions. Where have I been? I want to think about the mistakes that I made in life. And because you have to learn from, we believe that people make mistakes. We all make mistakes. We don't believe that you should live in your mistake. We believe you have to learn from your mistake. Only a fool falls in the same hole twice. So the first time you make a mistake, that's human. The second time you make a mistake, you're a fool if you make the same mistake. Why? Because you didn't think about, why did I make that mistake? How did this happen to me? How did I fall into this? So the first thing a person needs to think when he's going to sleep at night is, the stuff I did wrong today, I lost my temper. I don't lose my temper normally. What button did that girl push, did she say to me? What button did my husband push that he said to me that I lost my temper? So there's a button in my head that if someone says that, I get crazy. So you know what? I have to work on that. And then where am I at? I'm about to go to sleep. Where am I at? What did I do today? What did I do? Did I say thank you? Did I get anyone to do anything good? Did I do anything good? What did I do today? What's my plan for tomorrow? Hashem, you're going to give me life? What am I going to do tomorrow? How am I going to change it? Whole life, the biggest tzaddikim. Where was I? Where am I? Where am I going? Where was I? Where am I? Where am I going? Nobody thinks about that anymore because we have this crazy buzz in our head from all electronics. If we could hear electronics, because right now there are waves that are going through this room. You realize that, right? Because the people from that side of the street are calling the people from that side of the street. All their communication is going right through this room. There's actually talking. You know that? It's a crazy thing. People want to say, Wallstein, I don't believe in the other world. I'm like, you don't believe in the other world? No, prove to me there's another world. I'm like, you're living in it. So simple. It's so simple. People are atheists who don't want to believe in Hashem because they want to do Averis. They're so silly. They're so silly. How do you know you have a neshama? Get that a lot. How do you know you have a soul? I never saw a soul. I'm like, that's how you know. What? Like, that's how you know. How do I know everybody in this room has a soul? Well, we talk about neshama, good, bad, neshama, neshama, neshama. And the girls are into that whole, you know, soul, you know. Soulmate. Rabbi, can you find me my soulmate? How do you know you have a soul? What are you looking for a soulmate for? How do you know you have a soul? They're looking for a soulmate, but they don't know how to have a soul. Guys are not looking for a soulmate. Just want to get married, whatever. Don't make a difference. Either they don't want to get married or they do want to get married, but whatever it is, it has nothing to do with your soul. Trust me. Okay? No guy walks up to you and says, so Rabbi Wallstein, give me information on this girl, you know, Chani Goldberg. I'm like, what do you want to know? What's her soul like? Never had that question for some reason. Never. All the questions they asked me, nobody asked it. What's her soul like? Is she like a holy soul? Unless he's on something. He's not asking me that question. Rabbi, you're a holy soul. Now they all got smart. Now they're going to call up the shachin. By the way, I'm looking for a girl with a holy soul. Wow. Must be a boy from Queens. Wow, amazing. Well, how do we know you have a soul? If someone walked up to anyone in this room and said, I don't believe in this whole Judaism and souls and next world, and they came up to you and said, prove to me there's such a thing as a soul. How would you prove it? I'm listening. Okay, I'm the guy. Hey, what's a neshama? Prove to me there's a soul. I don't believe in a soul. Show me. Show me your soul. Bare your soul. Show me your soul. Not one of this. So you're telling me everyone in this room, if someone came up to you and said, I don't believe in a soul, you wouldn't know what to answer? That's pretty sad. But how would you know? Okay, so I'm going to answer you. How do you know? Very simple. Emotions. Can you see emotions? Sure, he's smiling. He hates your guts, but he's smiling. You don't see what he feels about you. You cannot see emotions. Now, you take someone to an MRI and you say, figure, I want to know if this person's happy or not. Take an MRI. Nope. Take a CAT scan. Nope. Take an X-ray. Take a sonogram. There is no instrument in this world that can measure emotion. Why? Because the instruments in this world were created for three-dimensional things, your veins, your muscle, your bone, whatever it's looking at. But something that's not three-dimensional, which is an emotion, there is no instrument in the world that can measure it. So I asked this guy, do you have emotions? Do you love? Do you hate? Are you sad? Are you happy? Are you scared? Can you measure it? No. So what is all that stuff that you can't measure and you can't see? That is the soul. The emotions of a person. That's why it's called a soulmate, because if the emotions of the soul, the two emotions, are matched, so then those two people should do pretty well together. So if someone came to you and said, I don't believe in the soul, then you know what? If you don't believe in the soul, then you don't believe in emotions. Then you believe that humans are like animals. Animals have no emotions. They don't cry. Animals don't cry. Even though someone's told me a whole Kabbalistic story, you throw a dog cry, whatever, Gilgul, Gans, and Mises, but animals don't cry. And they don't, two cows, you know, in the pasture, one doesn't walk over to the other one with a flower and a Hallmark card. Will you marry me? It don't happen. If you don't believe me, you can spend a few years on the farm and check it out. They don't have emotions. Human beings have emotions. Why? Because we have a neshama. They have a nefesh chai. We have a neshama. So next time somebody asks you and says, I don't believe in a neshama, you can say, well, then I guess you don't believe in emotions. A neshama is a person's emotions. And that is something that we can feel. And we know that it's there. And that's what goes up at night when a person goes to sleep. Right? They're pretty much emotionless when they sleep, even though some people smile when they sleep and some people cry. But that the neshama that a person has, that is a very holy thing. And that's a person's emotion. So there are many things in this world, right, that we can't see. Now, so the people who don't, I don't believe in another world. I don't believe in malachim. I don't believe in anything. I don't believe in anything. So I'm like, let's take a look at something. Do you believe in this room right now? Do you know what's going on in this room? There is 400 channels. There's a house down the block with a big satellite on top. 400 channels of television. Movies, football, army pictures, CNN, all kinds of stuff. Flying right through Robert Wallstein right here. Boom, 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 boom. Wow. The Yankees just hit one. Bow. Ooh. Right? Millions of pictures flowing through this room, get to that antenna. At the same time, millions of voices, all the people on that side of the street, talking to all the people that live on that side of the world, coming through this room. You hear it? No. You see it? No. Is it a fact? Yes. It's a fact. It's coming through the room right now, nobody sees it. So we as human beings have to realize there's a whole world. You don't have to get into Kabbalah and sit down and light candles and all that stuff. They like to do in Queens. Read my palms, this way, that way, right? My forehead. Some lady started reading foreheads. That's nice. That's great. I'll go in there, I'll put my hair down until here. Like, okay, let's see if you can read this. You should go. Why do people go to these gypsies? What are you doing? That's spirituality, because she's reading lines on your hand. Your lines on your hand change every morning. Hello? I mean, the neshama comes back, it writes new lines. If you don't believe me, circle one and watch it for a few weeks, and you'll see it gets longer, it gets shorter, it goes to the left, it goes to the right. So whoever reads your palms, the next day, they're silly. They're making a lot of money, because the next day, it's a different read, even if they know how to read palms. What do you read palms? It's a queen thing about Shiduchim, Rabbi Wallstein. I go to this one, to this Chacham Baba, this guy came in from Israel. Does Rivka Chana go with ch-ch-ch-ch-ch? And he looks at him and goes, yeah, I think so, yeah, perfect. What? That's it? So you don't have to buy a ring, you don't have to buy her flowers, and you know, because he said it's perfect. You know what I mean? I don't have to like her. The Baba Chama Baba, he said it's perfect. And this is a big thing, too. I don't know why. In this community, So you don't want to work. Because Re'ei Anochi, you don't want to see Hashem. You want to see someone who reads your palms. Sure. Fast fix. Microwave. It's called microwave Judaism. You put it in, you push 1 minute. And it's hot. It's great. That's not Yiddishkeit. You don't see Hashem by somebody reading your palms or reading names on a piece of paper. It's work. Sunrise. Sunset. It's thinking about why I'm here. It's looking at Hashem's creations. It's looking at Hashem's Torah. You got to work. Not someone just saying, oh, you'll live till 70. You'll live till 90. I love that one. You mean I could do every Avera? I could jump off the George Washington Bridge because my hand says I'm going to live till 90. Baloney. It changes every day. So that's what the Pasuk is telling us. Re'ei Anochi, that's the bracha, girls, the bracha, guys. Bracha is to see Hashem. Where do you see Hashem? In this room. You can see Hashem in a davening and in a tefillah. See Hashem in your beautiful children's faces. Why did Hashem create babies to be so cute? I wish He would have created older guys like me to be cute. We get uglier and uglier as I get older. Why babies are born cute and old people are not so cute? You know why? There's no way that you would put up with that crying, diaper-changing little thing if they weren't cute. You'd be tossing them over your shoulder. You're crying all night? And I gotta change your diaper? And you're ugly? Poof. Shem created a nice little cutie pies. So you're like, oh, it's 3 o'clock and you're crying? Oh, you're so cute. So her husband wakes up at 3 o'clock and needs a drink of water. Oh, yeah, cute. Oh, yeah. Get it yourself. What's wrong with you? You don't got your own legs? With that little thing in the crib, she's jumping up and running on the shoulder with a burp, what it is. I just want a glass of water. What's wrong with you? Something wrong with you? What's something wrong with him? He's 3 years old. He can't go to the refrigerator. He's cute. You're not. Okay, child. We got a child. Creation of a child. Amazing. Comes out all done. All done, everybody. Not like a tree where it has to grow. Baby's born with all his Avarim, with everything that he needs, except teeth. Except teeth. Everything's there except teeth. Why? Says Chazal, because he's going to nurse from his mother, and if he has teeth, he's going to hurt her. So God even thought, the baby, he's going to nurse, he's going to hurt him. No teeth. Everything is there. Everything's in place. Everything that's needed. And we're busy with our technology, our museum of arts. I went to speak in a school, nice, religious, from girls' school. And they changed the day I was supposed to speak because they went to the MoMA, MAMA, Museum of Art. And all the girls got nicely dressed up because you don't go to the MoMA in a jean skirt. You got to be dressed nice. And I came the next day and I said, so, how was it? And of course, girls are very artistic. Guys would be like, I don't know. Like, bunch of color on a canvas? That's stupid. Let's go to the Yankees, Mets, whatever. Bunch of stuff hanging on a wall, right? But everyone comes in. If you ever go there, the billionaires and millionaires in these big limos, and it's the moment they come in and everybody's dressed, and you have to be very quiet. Not like shul, right? You have to be like really quiet. And you have to have derech eretz. And big sign when you walk into the MoMA, please turn off your cell phones. And everyone's like, of course, you know, turn it off. Shul, we have it on vibrate. You know, let's see what's going on, you know. But it's the MoMA. So they were like, Rabbi Wallerstein, one girl got up, she goes, she's a very artistic girl. Rabbi Wallerstein was amazing. Girls like to use that word. Amazing. Everything's amazing. How's the pizza? Amazing. How's the flight to Israel? Amazing. How's the kosel? Amazing. You mean the kosel and pizza are the same thing, right? But everything's amazing. She's like, amazing. So what was amazing? She said, Rabbi, there was this one painting where they captured a canyon, right? A canyon with a waterfall. And I don't know how the artist did it. And there was like sunlight on the water. And she was like just totally amazed. She was like standing by that painting like the whole day. She was like amazement. I said, wow, that is amazing. Let me ask you something. What else? And the girls were saying, this one captured this, and this one captured that. And the one girl said, it was disgusting, you shouldn't go, Frum girl shouldn't go, because they have pictures of people that are not dressed. And the one girl says, no, but that's art. I'm like, don't give me that's art. Okay, don't give me that's art. If I walked into your class to give a shir of chumash, and I put that painting up, you'd throw Rabbi Wallstein out the window. What are you, crazy? Bring such a picture of a woman not dressed into a yeshiva? But the yeshiva, right, we can go look. Because it's art. Right, the goyim sold us. Art, rap music is music, because they put the word music afterwards, right? I don't understand you kids who listen to rap music. I mean, I listen to rock and roll, but Hashem, I did tshuva, now I listen to Shweki. You know, what should I tell you, right? What's with this rap? What's with this walking around with your earphones on, listening to some black guy, mad, angry black man, screaming in your ear? I'm going to kill your mother, then I'm going to kill your brother, then I'm going to go kill another. And she's like, wow, Rabbi, you got to hear this. His name is Ice T, Ice Cube, Ice This, Half This, 50 Cent. Rabbi, you don't understand. I'm like, what are you listening to? Like the Pasuk says, to a God, you don't even understand what the guy's saying. Were you brought up in your house where your mother said, yo, bring over some bread? That how your mother speaks? What are you listening to this stuff for? It's because, hello, it's culture. Rap music is culture. It's all culture. So I said something to this girl, and it has a lot to do with this plastic. I said, I want to ask you a question. You're like, wow, you went to the MoMA and this painting, and you're so excited. I said, this painter that painted this beautiful canyon with the water, with the sunlight, like, did he do it out of his imagination? No, it's he was there, and he painted it. I'm like, why are you getting excited about him? He just made a copy of the real thing. Hashem created the canyon and the waterfall and the sunlight. When was the last time, girls, that you got dressed up in a gown to see Hashem's art? To see His MoMA? Huh, guys? When was the last time you got dressed up and you dated Hashem and you put on a nice suit with a tie because you want to impress this girl? When was the last time you wanted to impress God? Last time you came to shul, shul, in the middle of the summer with your shorts and your no socks and your sandals, and sure, it's mincha, it's the middle of the summer. Uh-huh. And when you go out with a girl and you want to impress her, you're in shorts and a sandal? I don't think so. Get your new Gucci tie on, with your Prada shoes. Why doesn't God get that? Because He doesn't get that. So I said to this girl, like, what about Hashem? This guy just copied it. God created it. Why aren't you goo-goo over Hashem? Why don't you walk in every morning and say, oh my goodness, look at the sky this morning that Hashem painted for all of us. The blue sky with that white cloud. Look at that sky Hashem painted for us. No, we're excited about the guy who painted over the original. We are so messed up. Me included. That's the sweet passion. Biggest bracha that a person can have is to see God through His creation and to get excited about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and to give Him the respect. He's not asking you to respect Him as a God. He's asking us to respect Him as we respect anything else. So I want to end with a pasuk from Shir HaShirim that I spoke a lot about on Tisha B'Av, and some of you heard what I spoke about on Tisha B'Av, but since I have learned this pasuk, I've gone crazy, because I'm an emotional guy. I know you don't realize that I look like I'm very logical. So there's a beautiful Shir. First of all, everyone has to learn Shir HaShirim. Shir HaShirim is, someone told me today, I hate flowers. I'm like, you're in trouble. I hate flowers. This girl told me, I hate flowers. I hate jewelry. I hate colors. I'm like, well, the whole Shir HaShirim talks about Klal Yisrael, Kasher Shana, we are like a rose ben hachochem, in between the thorns. Hashem talks about us like we're flowers. I just want to tell you very fast, and I'll let you go. Perakei, because we're starting late. Basi Lagani Achaisi Kala, Hashem says, I came to my garden, my sister, my bride. Nice, right? And Hashem says, I gathered my mirth, I gathered my besamim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to us, to each one of us, and Shir HaShirim is very, very deep. It's very Kabbalistic. And this talks about every single day God comes to us. And He wants to talk to us. And what do we answer? Ani Yishena! Sorry, God! I'm on my BlackBerry. I'm sleeping. Believe me, air! My heart is open! Yeah. My heart's open to you, Hashem. But I'm sleeping. So, you know, when someone's sleeping, their heart can be open. You can talk to them all you want. If they're sleeping, they don't hear you. Koldaidi Daifek, my loved one, Hashem, his voice is knocking. And in Kabbalistic, we learn that there's many times in your soul that you feel that it's like you're talking to yourself and you're like, I gotta change. I gotta stop doing this. I can't text on Shabbos. That's crazy. That's Chas V'Shalom. And I have to get dressed more tzniyistic. And I gotta stop talking to girls. And I gotta stop messing with girls. And I gotta stop doing drugs and drinking. And I gotta stop making an idiot out of myself. And I gotta stop hanging out. And I gotta stop chilling. Right? It's enough! Get that every once in a while, and then you get rid of it. You know, like, that was a stupid feeling. Let's go on, party. You know? Yeah, that we all have that. It's like that 2 seconds, like, oh, what a shit Rabbi Wallerstein gave tonight. Oh, I really want to change. Hey, listen, we're going to the city. Be there in 2 minutes, no problem. I felt it for a minute, but, like, I'm out of here, right? Okay. So, you know, you're going to look at your phone tonight before you go to sleep, you know? I should really be reading a good story of saying Kriya Shema Lamita, but maybe I have a message, you know? I got to look. So we all have that great feeling, and then it disappears. So that's what he says. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm knocking on your door. When Hashem knocks on your door, that's when you have a feeling to change. Whenever you have the feeling to change, you know where it comes from? Atah Chelam Adath comes from Hashem. And all of us in this room, every one of you, including me, have had that feeling many times, and we squash it. And we have all kinds of excuses. I'm too busy, and if I change, my friends are going to make fun of me. Why did you change? What, you heard some Shir? Rabbi Wallerstein? What do you think he is? Right? Whatever. You heard Rabbi this and you heard Rabbi Mizrahi. And come on, we're all going out. We're all partying. We have this all the time in our lives. And there are many times when there's shalom bias problems when between a husband and wife. There are many times that the husband feels like, you know what, I'm really not being good to her. I really want to change. And he has that like 1 minute or 2 minutes or 5 minutes that he really wants to be nice and then out the door. Well, vice versa. She wants to be nice and it's out the door. That feeling in your heart, when you want to make a change, it comes from Hashem. But Ani Yishena, my heart's open, but I'm fast asleep. So, Daifi, Hashem is knocking on the door. And Hashem says the following. Ah, you should be connected to Hashem. Listen to how Hashem calls us. Pischuli, open up the door! My Chani, my Miriam, my Yaakov, my Moshe, my Yehuda. I don't know who I'm talking about, but I'm just giving you names. Right? Pischuli, Achaisi, open up the door. Achaisi, my sister, Rayasi, my loved one. Yainasi, my dove. Tamasi, my perfect one. Hashem says, open up the door. Let me in. Turn off your phone for a couple of minutes. Let's spend some time, God and you. You and you. What do we answer? God, sorry. Pashadati is katanti. I already took off my clothing and I'm in my pajamas. I would love to open the door for you, Hashem, but I'm in bed and I'm in my pajamas. And Eicha, how am I going to change now? Eicha El Boshena, I'm not going to start changing my whole life. Rachatzi is Raglai, I washed my feet. Eicha Tanfein, I washed my feet already. I'm not getting out of bed and dirtying my feet for you, Hashem. This is such a core pasuk in life. And I talk about this all the time. Such a core pasuk. Hashem saying, come on, let's change. Come on, get out of bed. Come on, Chani, you can do this. You can change your whole life. Come on, Moshe, you can change. You can go to Israel. You can go learn. And you're like, Hashem, I want to, but it's so hard. I have to get redressed and change my whole life. I'm already set. I'm in business school. I want to be a lawyer. I can't get out of bed and I can't change. That's what we tell Hashem. This is what he said. This is what Shlomo HaMelech is talking about. So then something comes along in life that we need God. I need a shidduch. Someone's sick. Hashem, I need you. Where are you? I want to change. Now it's time to change. I'm out of bed. We open the door. We want to change. We open the door. We think, oh, I'm going to open the door. My whole life's going to change. Anyone who's about tshuva knows when you become about tshuva, the first thing that happens, something bad. It's weird. Become about tshuva. I know a guy. I know one guy. I know 20 guys that became Shomer Shabbos. And the minute they became Shomer Shabbos, they lost the whole business. And they're like, Zutar v'zus chayra, I became Shomer Shabbos. I used to be making millions, and now I lost my whole business. And that's God? And the answer is yeah, because until now, the one that supported you was the Yetzer Hara, because as long as you're doing well, you don't want God, you don't want to change. Now you left the Yetzer Hara, he's not supporting you anymore. So that's a struggle. So what happens when we decide to change? All of a sudden life gets harder, not easier. So, Matsuni Hashayrim, Hashayrim Be'ir. So they find me. I'm looking for Hashem. Who finds me? The Satan. Hikunu. Hikuni, he hits me. Patsuuni, he damages me. Nasir is redeemed me alai. He takes my crown away from me. And we feel lost. We want to change. And our friends are saying, you're a loser. And we're tzniyus. And we're good girls. And we go to seminary. And we're 25 and we can't find a shidduch. And our best friend who went to parties, who hung out with guys, who goes to clubs, she already had 3 kids. I'm like, what's going on over here? I did what I'm supposed to do and I'm single. She did everything wrong. She has a whole family. And we feel lost. We try to change. And the Satan's like, look what you got for it. So Shlomo HaMelech says one thing. He says, Hishpati eschem b'nois Yerushalayim, swear to me, daughters of Yerushalayim, and timtzu es doidi, if you find God, matagidolai, what should you tell him? So I did this with my class many times, and I'm sure if I did it in this room, we don't have time, it's time to leave, it's 10:20, but if I did it in this room, we'd get very interesting answers. And I asked my class, I'm like, if you had 1 second with God to ask him for anything, what would you ask him or tell him? You don't have to ask him, you could tell him something. So everyone answers the same answer. We want Mashiach. I'm like, that's not on the table. You can't ask him for Mashiach. Yaakov Avinu, Chashav Lagalas is a Kate, Hashem took it away. So that you can't ask. What would you ask for? One girl said, my grandmother's sick for Shalemu. My father's not making a parnasa, you should make a parnasa. One girl's parents were divorced, they should get remarried. Everybody had in the room a different thing that they would ask for Hashem. Shlomo HaMelech, who is the wisest man of all, he said, if you meet God, give him one message. Don't tell him about the Holocaust. Don't tell him about the Spanish Inquisition. Don't tell him about all the Jewish kids that are off the derech. Don't talk about Camp Hask. Don't talk about Camp Simcha. Don't talk about all the Jewish people who are sick and all the broken homes and all the divorces. Don't talk about the people who are trying to have children or having a hard time. Don't talk about any of that stuff. Say one thing. You know what he says in Shir HaShirim? Swear to me, daughters of Klal Yisrael, if you meet Hashem, tell him one thing. Shechoylos ahavo ani. Tell God I am sick in love with him. You hear? You have 1 second with God? What should you tell him? I want Mashiach? No. The Holocaust, how did it happen? No. God, I've been looking for you my whole life. I'm so disconnected. I'm a machine. I'm connected to machines. When I was growing up, you were connected to machines. You know what it meant? It meant you were in a coma. That's when they connected you to machines. Today, we're all in a coma. Because that's what we're connected to. We're connected to respirators. Except they're not respirators. They're cell phones. So the one thing you should tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Shecholas Ahavas Ani, Hashem, I miss you, I love you, I don't have you. That's all you should tell him, says Shlomo HaMelech. What about all the stuff I need? No. Why not? So it was a king and he had a son, and the son was very bad, and he threw him out of the kingdom, and the kid was running down the street, and he fell into a well, and he broke his legs, and he broke his arms. And here the prince is laying at the bottom of a well, dying. And he's thinking to himself, no one's going to help me. The king threw me out. He says, wait, tomorrow, he looks at his, tomorrow is the day that my father, the king, goes through the whole country. I'm so lucky that I fell into this hole one day before. Tomorrow he's going to come by. And the next day he hears a bunch of guys, soldiers, and he starts screaming, I need help. It's the prince. And the king looks down the well, and there's laying the prince. He goes, my son, what happened to you? He says, Tati, I fell. I broke my arms. I broke my legs. His father says, what can I do for you? He says, Tati, give me some food. Give me some water. He says, Abba, it's so hard down here. I need a blanket. I need a pillow. And by the way, if you really love me, you'll throw down my cell phone. And the next day, and the king leaves. And the next day, a minister is walking by. He hears noises in the well. He looks down. He sees the prince. He says, Prince, what are you doing on the bottom of the well? He said, what do you mean, what am I doing on the bottom of the well? I fell in, broke my legs and my arms. You fell in with a pillow and a blanket? And so much food and so much water and a cell phone? He goes, no, I fell in, I didn't have any of that stuff. So how'd you get it? He says, my father was here yesterday. And he said, what do I want? And I told him, I need a pillow and a blanket, food, water, and my cell phone. And he looks down into the well. He says, you fool! Your father was here yesterday, and you asked him for a pillow and a blanket and a cell phone? Why did you just ask him to take you out? If he would have taken you out, you'd be home, blanket and a pillow, you'd be in a bed with many blankets and many pillows. You'd be eating at the king's table with food and drink. One cell phone. You would have had as many cell phones as you want. Fool! Why did you just ask him to take you out? To Shlomo HaMelech, we're busy davening. Help me with this and help me with that and help me with this and send me parnasa, give me a shidduch. We're asking him for all these things and the malachim are like, Jewish people, you fools! Just ask God, tell him that you love him. Shecholas avo ani, I'm sick. I don't have you. Take me out. That's all we should be asking for. Take us out. We miss you. And then everything comes along with it. There's no more sickness. There's no more divorce. There's no more pain. And there's no more kids off the derech. It's all over. But instead, we're all busy. And we're asking Hashem for all these little things, pillows and blankets. So Shlomo HaMelech just asked for one thing. Just tell him how much you love him, how much you miss him, how much you don't see him in a sunrise. You don't see a sunrise. You don't see a sunset. You don't see a flower. You don't see a fruit. You don't see nothing. He made fruits with colors so that you should want to eat it. So the apple is red and the inside is white. And he gave it special colors. And how come a watermelon doesn't have a color? Because a watermelon, the outside is the peel, the inside is the fruit. You open up a cantaloupe, it's a fruit that's being eaten when it's open. So Hashem made it red, so that when you open the watermelon, it's red inside. The apple is white inside. The watermelon is red inside because the fruit is inside. So he made every color of every fruit, any lady that goes shopping, you spend time, you look at what you're buying, that there's five colors of peppers. We couldn't have lived as human beings with just green peppers. We have to have yellow and orange and green and red. What did he do that for? For him? He did it for every one of us. If there was only one human being in the world, there'd be less peppers, but they'd be every species. Walk into a fruit store, you have a purple eggplant. You come up with that purple from Hashem. You put a seed in the ground that has no color, and what grows has a color? What's going on over here? In the same ground, you put five different seeds, five different things grow? Where do they grow from? Where's the energy? Where's the battery? How did that little plant push through 6 inches of ground? What's going on in this world? It's amazing. No. Who sees it? No, we're busy. Everyone's busy. We don't see anything. Says the Pasuk, Re'ei Anochi. The biggest bracha is just see me. That's why I'm here tonight in Queens. Just bring it to you. Stop with the electronics. They're dead. They have no life. They have no connection to Hashem. You don't make a bracha on it. Anything that you don't make a bracha on has no connection to Hashem. It's metal. You need it? Use it. No problem. But it doesn't take over your life. You have children, beautiful children. Give them the time. Beautiful wives and beautiful husbands. Relationship between two human beings is, let me tell you how great a relationship between two human beings are. The Nachash was the Satan. It says the Nachash saw Adam and Chava, and he was so jealous that he wanted to steal Chava. What was he jealous of? The Nachash had a female, you know that? There was a female snake. There's a male snake and a female snake. So there was a female human and a man human. What was the Nachash jealous of? He had his own wife. Says Chazal that he saw Adam and Chava talking to each other. And he saw them emotionally being with each other. And the Nachash said, oh my goodness, I want that. Animals have no emotions. So Hashem, husbands and wives, I'm done. Husbands and wives, Hashem gives you emotion. The emotion that the Nachash was willing to do anything to get from Chava. And he gives a husband emotion, he gives a wife emotion. And what do we do with it? We yell at each other. We say nasty things to each other. That's what the Nachash was jealous of. You have the chance, it says Zivu, between a husband and a wife, is the holiest moment. It's a Kodesh Kedoshim. No, we use these emotions. I'm angry at you, you're angry at me, I'm not talking to you, you're not talking to me. And the Malachim are jealous. And they're like, these two people, what they could have, we can't have. We're so disconnected. Malachim don't have children. We have children. Wow, a child is part of you. The only thing in this world that's part of a person is their child. Do you know that? Your husband and wife are not part of each other. It's a husband and a wife. You put them together, and those two create with Hashem together a being that is part. That's why we love our children. That's why when we hold our children the first time, we get all emotional. Because really, you're looking at yourself. There's a beautiful saying, I didn't bring it with me. People have children so that it gives the ability for their heart to walk the world. So your child is part of your heart. So when you have a child, you're giving your heart a chance to walk outside your body across the world. That's a child. You're yelling at him. You have no time for him. You're busy on your phone. That's you! You're too busy to spend time with you. That child is you! Your future, your potential, your hope. That phone, it's a piece of garbage. You can change, you can trade it in. You can't trade your children in. We're so lost. So 3.5 months ago, I got fed up. I was in shul. There were 13 people by mincha. And during Shemoneh Esrei, there were 6 guys that were on their cell phones texting on their Blackberries. And my heart was like, you're in shul? Don't come to shul. How dare you stand in front of God and text in front of God? And I went crazy. And I began to start looking and watch people. And I went to stores and I saw women with their kids, mamas wheeling their kids. They weren't looking at them. They were on their phone. I went Pesach to one of these big places where all the rides are. So finally the fathers took a day off Chol HaMoed to go with their wives and their kids. And the father was sitting there on his phone the whole time. His wife was on the phone the whole time. Go, kids. Any ride you want. Go, kids. You think that's what the kids can? The kids can come with school and do that. They finally came out with their parents, and you're on your phones. And when you start to become aware of it, you realize that we gave everything up. We don't have wives. We don't have children. We don't have self. When's the last time you spent time with yourself? The last time you sat for an hour with yourself and said, who am I? What am I doing here? What am I accomplishing? Why did Hashem create me? I'm not a duplicate. Hashem makes no duplicates. I am an original. Everyone in this room is an original artwork. So why did Hashem create me? My brother would have been enough. No, your brother would not have been enough. So we decided that we're going to take one day, which is Tzom Gedalia, which is coming up. That's Motzei Shabbos after Rosh Hashanah. And from 12 o'clock, Motzei Shabbos, till 12 o'clock Sunday night, we're going to ask all the Jews in the world. I mean the world. I mean Chile, Israel, Africa, Australia, religious, not religious, Hasidic, don't make a difference. We're asking all the Jews in the world to disconnect on Tzom Gedalia, minimum 1 hour, maximum 24 hours. Disconnect from your electronics for an hour. What's going to happen? Spend that hour. I went to all the tzaddikim in Eretz Yisrael and here, and I said, what should I tell them? They should say Tehillim? They said, no. Just tell them to disconnect for an hour. They should spend an hour with their wife, with their kids. Most important, with themselves. So, we are asking, and our target is that Bezrat Hashem, at the end of those 24 hours, we will have registered 1 million hours of disconnection. Everyone said, impossible! I'm like, I live in that world. There's no such word. I have a friend that said, if something's hard, try hard. If something's impossible, try harder. Nothing's impossible. So, I'm here tonight. I'm going to show you a video that we put online. Two videos. Each one is a minute and 30 seconds. Very, very short. And we're trying to get across to the world. In fact, the first video, some non-Jews have seen and have sent us emails. They want us to go on this station and that station, and they're very, very excited about it because it's not only the Jewish world, the whole world right now is so addicted. It's such an addiction that we have started this. And we'd like everyone in here tonight, Mitzvah Hashem. I have papers to sign up. We would like everyone here tonight to sign up. You can go to Ornava, and you can sign up on online. Again, I'm not coming here tonight to tell you to throw your cell phone in the garbage. You need your cell phone, but don't be addicted to it. Learn to be able to turn it off. Learn to be able to. You have to go on the internet. You want to watch a shiur? I'm not telling you to go on the internet. If you're on the internet, but don't be addicted to. Don't be on Facebook for 7 hours or 9 hours. An addiction is something that you cannot do without. If you need to have something, you're not allowed to have it. If you don't need it, you're allowed to have it. So we're going to show you these two videos. And after the two videos, we'll be giving out papers for people to sign up. And then we'll get in contact with you. Okay, we ready?
Yeah, we can just move this.
Okay.